back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Well, once upon a time, Ashburton was the epicentre, wasn't it? That's where the Prime Minister came from once. But no longer. It's dipped in at the moment. But where's it going to be in a couple of weeks? In 16 days, we're all going to have a go at it. Rod, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mikey. Very well, thank you.
How are you? How's the excitement level?
Oh,
for you?
It's pretty intense. There are so many extraordinarily interesting issues on the table over this election campaign, and being reasonably well discussed. It's not just all about the personalities, which of course is always important.
Yeah, this is what I said a couple of days ago, is that it's so exciting that the media are actually doing what the media are supposed to do this election, because I've sort of felt the last couple there's been a bit of a lack of that, and it's really exciting that everyone's getting into policy and fact-checking and all that sort of palaver. Speaking of fact-checking, what about this $11 billion?
Yes. Look, it is fairly technical, but it comes down to a very simple idea. What Joyce is saying is that Labour hasn't costed in the inevitable future rises in expenditure. So wages in various sectors in the state services sector keep rising, and inflation and all the rest. Therefore, because that's not showing up in the figures, then there is this very large hole. In fact, he actually upped the ante yesterday and said it was even bigger. The truth of the matter is that, first of all, Labour was basing its alternative budget on the government's own figures from the most recent pre-election fiscal and economic update. And secondly, Labour has included those inflation component in its spending for health and education, but it put them in the main spending, not in a separate category alongside them. So that takes care of a fair chunk of government spending. It is so I'm saying it's about 80% right for Labour and about 20% right for Joyce, because Joyce does have a point that if you look at the other areas of government spending where there isn't that provision, then Labour will come under some financial pressure. They will have less financial leeway than perhaps National would have
right.
done. But again, Labour's response to that is, oh, well, we will sit very hard on those costs and keep them down. Well, maybe it will. But even if you give Joyce a little bit of credit for some of that argument, it only comes down to a handful of billion dollars out of the, I think he's now up to about $14 billion. He just keeps doubling down on this one.
He's bold, give him that.
well, that's one word you could use, yes.
Or would that, because he's in the National, would cocky be a better word?
No, well, he's certainly that too. It's an easy thing for him to do because it's a headline figure that gets passed around and not many people are going to dive down into the detail. Should people want to, Bernard Hickey, who I think is the best business journalist in the country, who runs the business side, journalism side of newsroom.co.nz,
yep.
has a terrific piece yesterday on that.
Clarifying it, sure.
Yeah, and it's very readable. So if anybody wants to dive
down, you've done a very good job this morning. Thank you very much, Rod. We really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Let's keep it interesting. Tax.
tax. Another one of my favourite subjects. We have a strange tax system in New Zealand because we don't tax capital gains. So therefore, if you make your wealth from the rise in the value of assets, you get taxed less heavily, you get off more lightly than people who are taxed on their income.
Right.
And that then sets up all kinds of distortions in the economy. We've, of course, really struggled.
Does that help lead to the widening the gap between rich and poor, sort of?
Because, absolutely. Yeah, because if your wealth consists only of those investment assets, then you're very likely taxed on those, and so you just sit there and they accumulate. But it also leads to other distortions, like people pouring lots of money into rental properties because there's all sorts of tax advantages, not just no capital gains on that.
Yeah.
But
that's just one part. I mean, there's so many massive corporations in New Zealand businesses that are funneling their money in all sorts of well thought out places so that they don't have to pay a lot of tax.
Oh, no, our companies are good on that. There is...
Really?
No. If you go back decades to the whole wine box stuff and everything else, that was completely true. But no, New Zealand companies are very transparent. Of course, one of the reasons...
There's some pretty sweet deals there if you're the right company.
No, really.
Fonterra?
I'm about to say yes, but let me explain. It's not really about Fonterra, but it actually goes back to the farmers. Mm-hmm. So farmers don't farm for income. They farm for capital gains.
Right.
So what they're interested in is making their farm more and more valuable. And so when they sell, they have a great capital gain there. And, of course, they can write off all sorts of things as business expenses along the way. And so that's a distortion in the tax system, has a pretty negative impact on the performance of the economy. So, yes, you're right about farming, but...
Ryman Healthcare?
That's an interesting one.
Didn't pay a centre tax last year.
Yeah.
Pass?
Well, yeah, because I'm not very good at doing complicated mental gymnastics.
No, I'm throwing them at you, to be fair.
No, because the whole business model of retirement homes, I think, is a challenging one, where you get buy a license to occupy, and then when you die or move out, that place reverts to the likes of Ryman to sell again. I mean, it's a pretty sweet business, I'd have to say.
Yeah. Well, so for the average person that's going to be voting in the election, do you think they're getting a clear idea of what the major parties' tax plans are? And do you think I was stunned the last couple of elections when, there's going to be tax cuts, and that was enough to get people to vote for National. And I thought, well, really? Really? Yeah. $20 extra a week, that's like two rum and cokes. You know,
yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. No, exactly. And this is a big change. And actually, that mood was apparent before the election got electrifying, in terms of there was clear public support for more government spending, and therefore a fair few people saying, forget about the tax cuts, just make sure health and education, everything else is properly funded. The big challenge on tax is that these things are complicated, and therefore Labour's commitment to have a commission to study what changes would happen in the tax system is absolutely the right thing to do. Now, we have had those periodically. We can pretty much be assured of what they will come up with, because the options are pretty clear. So it actually comes down to the political will and the mood of the nation to make some changes. But I still think it's important to have that commission.
Is it all how you sell it, though, as well? I mean, like, I think Labour are doing a pretty good job of making it sound like that's going to be, that's a good, fair and balanced sort of approach to it, you know. And I know that, and whereas National trying to demonise it, that idea of a working group. Is it the best idea, do you think, for Labour to go
with? Yes, it is, because these things are phenomenally complicated, and it's really important to lay out the options. And of course, it then becomes a political decision about what the government thinks it can get through Parliament and what it thinks people are up for. So in going into this election, National is criticising Labour for not being specific. But rightly, they're not. Conversely, I flip it around the other way and say, National's being far too complacent to say the tax system's fine, even though, you know, I've just given you a whole bunch of reasons it's not. So that sheer complacency on the part of National on the nature of tax in this country, it has always been a big worry to me, not just in this election.
All right, so keeping it interesting again, let's go to work and income. Woohoo! Benefits.
Yeah.
This is starting to get interesting, isn't it?
It is. I mean, look, there are two very big things on my mind. On one side, we've got Bill English doing this, and I say this as a matter of admiration, this very wonky thing about being able to dive down deeply into the data to find out the people who are very most vulnerable and come around them, you know, teenage mums and what kind of stuff.
Well, you've had 9 years, man. That's my problem with that.
Yeah, no, well, exactly. And those are all still minor, very small-scale pilot projects. And he's talking them up big time. And yet he hasn't had the courage to roll them out faster. Now, that's good. I'd like to see more of that. But there's still a pretty nasty culture there in the Department of Work and Income about how beneficiaries are treated, and all sorts of. And so I think my sense is voters want some change there, and that's not being promised.
Yeah.
I'm afraid the last election, National was completely, well, sorry, the last but one budget, where they suddenly announced an increase in family benefit, you know, the first time in, I don't know, it was 33 years or something, and it was about 2 and 6 pence, and then you never heard anything about it again. And you know, it's like, oh, come on, that is such a stunt. Especially when
yesterday Bill English was talking about the guaranteed work experience and budget plan to help for long-term unemployed and rehabilitation places for job seekers struggling with drugs, as long as they get off the drugs. If you don't get your benefits going to be halved if you refuse treatment or a job, and if you've got drug problems.
What National is actually?
It's quite 50s. Quite 1950s.
Yes, it is. However, that would also be a big change if National was serious about that long-term support for long-term beneficiaries who are struggling to get into jobs. And I don't know whether it's got the culture to be able to make that shift. The current culture is deeply ingrained in the government, in the National-led government. And as I say, that would be my scepticism there.
The Labour and Greens have got a different approach again, haven't they? They've got they're trying to make it more so that, you know, make the system work for people, I guess. And one thing I've noticed in this election, and maybe it's only days away. Do you know what hasn't come up in this election that I've noticed?
Oh yeah, no.
Dole bludgers, single mums on the DPB.
Yeah.
People sucking off the state's tits. That whole thing, that whole myth that they drum up around the election time, that there's just people out there who are just like, they wake up in the morning and they're going, choice, I'm on the benefit, yeah! And they just love it because the benefit's awesome. They don't have to do any work. That whole myth that, I know there are obviously people who do that, but I mean, you know, the majority of people on the benefit are struggling, and that's why they're on the benefit. Benefit's not awesome. The benefit sucks.
Yeah, and you're making a really interesting point there, and I think that message isn't being put out there in various ways. Obviously, a government. Well, I hope I continue to live in a country where any government wouldn't be putting out a line quite that crude. But there's other.
It got pretty crude last time, though.
No, there's ways for them to get the message out there. But no, you're right. I think that's again a sign of a shift in the mood of the country, that the people who might be tempted to roll out a line like that realise it's not going to play so well this time.
Another thing I've noticed too is in the last couple of leaders' debates, almost no discussion whatsoever about mental health or suicide.
Yep. Absolutely, and
too hard, or they're saving it for the end, or what, you know?
Oh, I don't think they'll be saving it for the end. It is hard, I wouldn't want to second guess why that hasn't come up.
I'm surprised one of the leaders hasn't brought it up, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the other one is there's not been the slightest hint about climate change. You know, we've got this out through the, thanks to the OIA, this suppressed report that had been done in government about $19 billion of property around the country, so I think 2,000 kilometres of road threatened by rising sea levels.
We spoke to Phil Goff about that, about Tamaki Drive is going to have to be raised half a metre or something like that in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and as was the Northwest Motorway down at Mosquito Island there as it crosses over. So that was part of the cost of that $2 billion for the Waterview Tunnel and all the other motorway stuff around it. And I'm amazed it just doesn't come up. I'd be hard-pressed to think of and I don't follow elections all the way around the world, but, this is on everybody's election agenda. Some bit negative, of course, in the way of Trump, I just find it extraordinary it's not being discussed.
And very, very quickly, Rod, should the government be doing more to protest against the actions of North Korea, or are we doing the right thing?
Oh,
I'd say it's just the cause du jour, but it's got nuclear weapons.
No, it's a phenomenally important issue, but you've got really big players in there. Obviously, the US, China, Russia's having its say, Japan as well, and then you've got the two Koreas in the middle of all that. I think it's really important that we keep, as a country, we keep stressing the importance of working through the United Nations.
Diplomacy,
not just diplomacy, but specifically the United Nations. I know there's a lot of cynicism around that, but that's what the institution's designed to do, and it's creaky, but it can work. Trump's going to freelance this, which is scary.
Yippee.
And then the answer comes, or the question comes, when the Prime Minister here gets a call from President Trump, you're going to send us some troops for whatever. I don't envy any Prime Minister having to make that decision.
Yeah. Hey, Rod Oram, thank you so much. Wonderful talking to you. That's our expert political commentator, Rod Oram. Thank you very much for talking to us, and happy election if I didn't speak to you beforehand.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. See you.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.